Well, good morning. I already confessed to getting pulled over last year for not moving over when a police car was on the side of the road. Scott's Law, right? The officer caught up with me and gave me a warning. And you know what? Every time I see a police officer or any car on the side of the road, if possible, I move over. I learn my lesson. I don't want an expensive ticket. Obviously, there are other lessons that I've learned the hard way. Then there's some lessons that I've learned by observing others, observing other leaders and pastors and family and friends and even church family, right? Over the years, I've read a few biographies of interesting people, stories about JFK and Reagan and Patton, even Hitler and Theodore Roosevelt, Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, and others, pulling back the curtain of their lives to see what they experienced and what lessons they learned and about themselves and about others, about their reactions and responses, their attitudes, about things they avoided as well as the wisdom that they observed. Their approach to leadership or facing a difficult situation or how to communicate or why they did what they did. Life is a series of lessons. Life is a series of lessons. Sometimes we heed them and other times we rebel against them. Some of life's lessons we've learned the hard way. Anyone? Right? And we've got some scars or some wounds or some regrets to show for it too. If it's too good to be true, what? It probably is. Life lesson is be discerning and not so gullible. When life hands you lemons, you make lemonade, right? Life lesson, make the most of a disappointing opportunity. Life lesson. Families are like fudge, mostly sweet with a few nuts. Life lessons. There is no perfect families. Maybe you're the nut in your family. Well, we're in our year-long theme of relationships. God is passionate about his relationship with you and with me. His passion is about every detail of our lives, our relationship with money, the church, the mission, the resurrection, and even with hurry. His passion is for all of us collectively as we live this life out together. I want to begin a new sermon series titled Relationship with Observational Learning, where we look at a different character in the Bible to learn from their lives. I'm so glad that God allowed their stories to be recorded so we can learn from their successes as well as their failures. What life lessons can we learn from people in Scripture? Jonah, I can run, but I can't hide. But God is a God of second chances. God's forgiveness is for us. The life lesson, obeying God makes my life easier. We looked at the life of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. He was a man of integrity. He listened and obeyed God, and he protected his family. The life lesson from his life is we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then there's John Mark. He was the guy that bailed on a missions trip with Apostle Paul. And the life lesson for his life is when we fall, we get back up. Who we're with will determine who we become. And how we finish this life is more important than how we started. Judas Iscariot, he failed to recognize Jesus' value, and it led him to an easy betrayal, and it led him to regret his decision. Life lesson, how much is Jesus' worth to us? Then you got Nathan, the prophet, who confronted David's sin. Will we obey God even if it's hard? Are we willing to be confronted by others because of our sin? Will we protect the next generation? Life lesson, obey God even when it's difficult. Then there's Nehemiah, who rebuilt Jerusalem's walls. Who are we fighting for? Who depends on us for courage? Whose life is influenced by ours? Life lesson, take courage, influence, and fight for your family. We looked at Nicodemus. He's the guy that came to Jesus at night. Are we willing to examine God's truth for ourselves? Are we willing to defend the truth? And are we willing to believe in Jesus, the truth? The life lesson, knowing about Jesus isn't enough. We must believe in him to be saved. Then there's Nathanael, one of the disciples, Who does Jesus see in us? Who are we with? Who are we with on this journey? And will we be faithful to complete our purpose? Life lesson, Jesus really knows us. We can trust him. So those are some valuable godly life lessons to apply to our lives today. And we can learn a lot by observing the lives of others. When we reflect on our own lives and mortality, when we're at a loved one's funeral or memorial, what kind of person they were, how they lived their lives, and what impact they had on our lives. And we strive to be like them in some way or take on a certain characteristic that we admire about them and make it our own. What can we learn from others? More specifically, how can we grow closer to Jesus by observing the lives of those in God's Word? Well, my title this morning in our relationship with observational learning is Life Lessons of Simeon. Life Lessons of Simeon. There are exactly 200 days until Christmas 2025. Anyone done their Christmas shopping yet? In Luke chapter 2, Mary and Joseph head to Bethlehem to register for the census, and while there, Mary gave birth to a son named Jesus. And the angel appeared to the shepherds out in the fields, and they came and they saw the baby and they told everyone about it. Then scripture says that Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem to present their firstborn son to be consecrated to the Lord in observance of Exodus chapter 13. And as they offered a pair of doves or two young pigeons as a sacrifice in keeping the law the Lord observed in Leviticus chapter 12. And the story of Simeon is rarely mentioned in the Christmas story. So this is where we pick up in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So what do we know about Simeon? Well, Simeon's name means one that hears or obeys or one that is heard. And we know that he lived in the city of Jerusalem and he's older. Simeon was righteous towards men and devout towards God. He was a man of character who feared God and avoided evil. He was a good man in life and in conversation, holy towards others. Today we would say that he was saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Outwardly, he was called righteous, just before mankind. Inwardly, he was devout, devoted, consecrated to God. This man was a light in the land of Israel where most of the people lived in spiritual darkness. At the time of this story, the Jewish religious leaders were largely political and not deeply spiritual. And if you remember, there hasn't been a prophet in Israel for 400 years. Israel has been oppressed by one foreign power after another, and even now they are ruled by corrupt Herod and Roman troops occupying Israel. It would have been easy for Simeon to get caught up in the politics of the day and be a skeptic about where are the great promises of God for his people. But Simeon was righteous and devout. And because Simeon is older and before he dies, he's waiting to see the consolation of Israel, or he's waiting for the restoration of Israel through the messianic hope of Jesus to save God's people. A traditional Jewish prayer is, "May I see the consolation of Israel." And the nation of Israel had been waiting for their Messiah a very long time. And this prayer was answered for Simeon when he saw Jesus as a baby. Well, moved by the Spirit, Simeon goes to the temple. The Holy Spirit was upon him as a spirit of holiness and a spirit of prophecy, enabling him to speak for God. And Joseph and Mary, they bring Jesus to the temple to fulfill the customs. And Simeon holds baby Jesus in his arms, and he begins to praise God. Notice the perfect timing, bringing Simeon and the new parents together. Alexei Yegorov painted what he called Simeon, the God receiver. Imagine Simeon's emotions with tears in his eyes, with joy flooding his heart, presenting the boy to God, saying, "You can take me now, for I've seen your salvation, I've seen your light, I've seen your glory through the Messiah." See, Simeon's song is divided into three parts: worship of God, keeping his promises of the Messiah, a song of praise that he's privileged to see Jesus, and it's also a song of salvation to the world. Now Simeon, he's ready to die in peace. Mary and Joseph, they marvel about what Simeon is saying. Then he blessed them both and then prophesies to Mary using three important images: a stone, a sign, and a sword. A stone: this child will cause many to rise and fall in Israel. And as a cornerstone, Jesus would be rejected and the nation of Israel would stumble over him even to this day. But others would fall in conviction and then rise in salvation. A sign: this word means a miracle, revealing divine truth. Jesus is God's miracle, but people attacked and spoke against him. They slandered his birth and his death, and they lied about his resurrection. Jesus came the first time to save humanity, but he will come a second time to judge them. And the third image is a sword. This prophecy was for Mary alone, and it spoke of the suffering and sorrow that she would bear as the mother of Jesus. The Greek word means constantly keeps on piercing. Jesus coming into the world would cause the thoughts of many hearts to be revealed, believers or unbelievers. And the angel told Joseph and Mary that their son was the Savior, the Son of God, but they had no idea God's great plan for Jesus. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday, and the disciples were among 120 in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit that Jesus had talked about. And suddenly all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages or other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Rewind 30 plus years earlier, and Simeon is holding baby Jesus. The baptism of the Holy Spirit hasn't been poured out yet. It's when Jesus ascends to the Father that the Holy Spirit finally comes. And the Holy Spirit will convict the world of its sin, of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. Simeon was a man who was led and influenced by the Holy Spirit. He was Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled, and under the Spirit's power. Simeon taught the Word of God and was obedient to the will of God. He held the salvation in baby Jesus, the Messiah, God's very Son. And he responds appropriately in praise. So what life lessons can we learn from his life, from Simeon? Well, the first thing I thought of was, I need to be holy and devoted to God. Luke 2:25, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. You see, we could skim over these words, righteous and devout, but it reflects a lifetime of Simeon cultivating a walk with God. Being devout is a heart attitude of devotion and reverence to God. Being righteous is practicing and pursuing godliness. He didn't become righteous and devout by accident or overnight. Simeon was intentional about growing and seeking the Lord. He simply couldn't be righteous and devout without the Holy Spirit's presence on his life. Even in the dark times that Israel faced, Simeon, he was a godly man. Day in and day out, he patiently waited and walked with God. Although short, this is a biography of a great man. We know his name, his business, his character, and his devotion. His name was Simeon from Jerusalem. His business was waiting for the Messiah. His character was righteous and devout, and his devotion was having the Holy Spirit on him. God is calling you to be holy and devoted to him, to cultivate day in and day out a relationship with him, to be a light in this dark world, in your home, in your family, in your workplace, in your school, wherever you are, to stand for truth but in love. And like Simeon, to be holy and devoted, the Holy Spirit must be on you. Simeon was declared righteous, justified by his faith, with a daily walk of holiness and devotion, growing in grace. Scripture is very clear in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. You are to work at two things: living in peace with everyone, period. Living a holy life set apart for God, untainted, distinct from the world. You cannot be living in sin and expect God's blessing on your life. Scripture says, without holiness, no one will see God. But like Simeon, be like Simeon and be holy and devoted to God. Well, the second life lesson is I need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Luke 2:26, it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die, Simeon, before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. See, the Holy Spirit was in communion with Simeon. That's how he knew he'd see the Lord's Messiah. He was in direct contact and communication with the Holy Spirit. There was a deep relationship between him and God. And because of his daily walk with God, Simeon, he listened to the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying? What is the Holy Spirit doing? Well, Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit is the comforter when you need it the most. The Holy Spirit is the convictor when you sin and break God's law. The Holy Spirit is the counselor working in and through you. The Holy Spirit is the conveyor of truth, telling and guiding you into all truth. And the Holy Spirit will never contradict Scripture 100% of the time. You see, it's listening with your heart when the Spirit speaks. It's responding to his loving conviction about a sin or a sin habit. It's developing this listening ear with your heart, listening as you read God's Word, as you spend time with the Spirit, and he will reveal something you need to hear. Simeon was holy and devoted, and he listened to the Holy Spirit. Well, the third life lesson from Simeon's life is I need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Luke 2:27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. The parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required. Even as an old man, Simeon was moved by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit prompted him to actually and physically move into the temple courts, and Simeon simply obeyed. I'm tired, or I'll do it tomorrow, Lord. No, he immediately obeyed. The Holy Spirit knew what he was doing because of that exact moment, Mary and Joseph entered the temple courts as well. No matter what your age is, daily seek to be led by the Holy Spirit in your walk. Simple availability and obedience are what God is looking for in you. Simeon didn't exactly know what the Spirit had in mind. He just went. The Holy Spirit always has a purpose in mind to move you. It's your job to listen and obey. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, to the Christian church, in Galatia, there's a section in chapter 5 titled Living by the Spirit's Power in Galatians 5, 16 through 17. He writes, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. To avoid the sinful nature inside, walk by the Spirit, follow the Spirit, live the way that the Spirit leads you, be directed by the Spirit, obey the Holy Spirit's instructions. As a senior citizen was driving down the freeway, his cell phone rang. Answering, he heard his wife's voice urgently warning him, "Herman, I just heard on the news that there's a car going the wrong way on Interstate 77. Please be careful." "Honey," said Herman, "it's not just one car, it's hundreds of them." Well, the Holy Spirit will not lead you down the wrong path ever. He'll let you know if you're going the wrong way. But Paul goes on to list desires of your sinful nature that will lead you down the wrong path. Things like sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, rebellion, division, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties. You see, anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. There are two forces fighting each other inside you, good and evil. And as you live a holy and devoted life to God, as you listen to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God will lead you and your life. He'll never lead you astray or the wrong way. Simeon was holy and devoted. He listened to the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Holy Spirit. Relationship with observational learning. Life is a series of lessons. If we choose to observe and learn, God saw fit to include the stories of many men and women in his word so we can learn some life lessons for ourselves. And if we pay attention, we can learn a lot from them. We can avoid their mistakes, and we can repeat their successes even. The life lessons of Simeon. With his life, we can learn what he did right. He was righteous and devout. He was holy and devoted to God. We must be holy because God is holy. Simeon wasn't going through the motions in his walk with God. It was alive and intentional as he cultivated the garden of his heart. We can learn from him to cultivate our own hearts with God. His relationship with God was bright, even in a dark place. And it may be dark where you are. Shine your light anyway. And Simeon, he listened to the Holy Spirit, and he saw the Lord's Messiah. Listen, learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. He will tell you the truth always. Practice listening for that still small voice, because he will guide you in your life. Well, Simeon was led every day by the Holy Spirit. Make it a priority with God daily in his presence, reading his word, praying, communing with Jesus. The Holy Spirit will move in you and through you. And as you live a holy and devoted life to God, as you're listening to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God will do just that. He will lead you and your life. Let's pray.